Hello and welcome to episode 57 of the Adoption and Fostering Podcast with me, Scott Casson-René, and him,
Al Coates.
Oh, that wasn't his jazz hands his first time. Oh, got it.
I know, it was more The Price is Right kind of thing.
It was, yeah. Who's it that does that now? Joe Pasquale or something? I don't know, anyway.
How are you?
Fine, yeah.
It is a
back into the flow.
And back in the flow. It's a long time since we've had a podcast. So where was you before now?
We've just come back off half term, haven't we? Well, is your half term this week or was it last week?
It was last week, yeah.
Yeah.
Longest week of my life.
Yeah. It was probably the longest in mine as well, because I, even though Jacob was on half term, he was in ski trip.
Nice.
Which Tris went with him on.
And there was a story.
And then I came back from Canada as well, because I had to go and spend a weekend in Canada. So
yes, that was a series of unfortunate events.
It was, yes.
Yeah.
It was.
Oh, we're caught up in all kinds of craziness, aren't we?
We are, always.
Yes. Well, we had an interesting...
But anyway, we won't dwell on that. What about you? What have you been up to?
Quickly moving on.
Let's dwell on your misfortunes.
I've had the busiest January I've ever had of my life. So I've been having a slight February unravelling. I went so fast and hard. So that's why I do apologise. That's why we didn't have a podcast last week, because I just couldn't face it. That's a terrible excuse.
I felt quite bad that we couldn't do one.
Why did you feel bad?
Well, because we both agreed not to do it because we were both both busy and too busy unraveling each end.
Simultaneously.
Blah blah blah. Yeah.
Cool.
But it happened, sadly, and I think it's just the timing of it being half term as well. Probably didn't help us. So, but yes.
No, such is life.
And when you're getting chased on, Twitter to actually get one done, okay.
Slightly creepy.
No names mentioned. Glitter nails.
Bless her heart.
So, yeah. I know. Well, but, yeah.
Well, I became very excited in early February. I'm going to move as quickly on, because what I don't want to do is just to prattle on in slow motion. Very quickly, I became very excited because we got an email. Oh, it's not opening. We got an email from... I'm not sure we're allowed to say her name, because she didn't necessarily give us permission to say her name.
Just use her initial.
Just use her H.
There you go.
There you go. That was easy, wasn't it? That's overcame all kinds of GDPR complications there.
Exactly.
And she got in touch, which is always good to get in touch. So if you ever want to email the show, email us.
The show.
Ta-da! Email the show! If you want to email us, then please do, or direct messages. Have you ever got random questions? So the random question we had was in relation to behavioural policies in schools, and I sent it on to you, but you didn't answer. So come on, Scott. It was talking about how...
Becky! Quick!
Yeah,
Becky,
I did email it to Becky, but she didn't get in touch, so I don't know whether she's... Mind you, I'm not sure I was sent to the right email. It was probably just a random email.
Oh.
So I'm just getting up on my computer because I should have prepared that perhaps a little bit earlier.
Yeah, maybe you should have. This is very much, I don't know if you saw Alan Partridge last night, but this is very much what this is turning into.
Well, just a man looking on the internet in a very bad...
Well, basically just unprepared for the show.
Right,
which isn't like you, really.
It isn't like me.
You're also very crackly tonight in my lug holes.
Am I? Well, that's more about you than it is about me.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why is it more about me?
It's because I don't know, but it won't come out on the podcast because I'm recording directly from my computer. Right, here
it's
we go.
It's rather irritating. Anyway.
Right, I will cut most of that out because that was just total prattle. Okay, so here we go. Really enjoyed the podcast, the Christmas podcast. So, as always, please... please, if you're going to email in, say nice things about us. The quiz was particularly funny. I thought I'd mention that because I invited the quiz. That's good of me. anyway, the question was, she was very kind of it to read, and she talked about school. Do you feel that you can have a relational approach to special educational needs children within a reward-sanctioned behavioural policy?
No.
All right, well, I'm glad we answered that question. Scott, yeah. Scott says sure. No. And then she goes on. We had a bit of a to-ing and fro-ing of the email. She was thinking that she was looking to adapt a school behavioural policy for her child. And she was really struggling to see if we could have a relational approach to behaviour within a reward sanction system. And kind of, do you think that the two are... I mean, what sort of system does your school have? Do they have a sanction system?
Well, they try.
What do you mean they try?
They do try. Well, they try to kind of impose it, but we don't...
Let them.
Oh, it's a hard one, isn't it? Because the naturally you would think, oh, you know, if I give a child a detention, then they're going to be, you know, they're going to learn from whatever behaviour it is that they've done, or a
consequence kind of.
Yeah, exactly. But we know that generally doesn't work.
No.
A detention for someone like Jacob means inclusion. So that's, you know, that's what he wants out of it. It has to be, if they're going to punish him, it has to be a bit more of a practical punishment.
But then are you saying then it doesn't work? But if it's a punishment, then are they actually helping Jacob to kind of learn, teach him his behaviour, or are they just making themselves feeling better?
No. I mean, they do things, but it has to be a lot more kind of thought through than just your standard, right, he did this, so therefore that's... sanctions a detention, if you like.
Yeah.
We know from, you know, from years gone by with, you know, having had three boys and one of them who absolutely adored detentions because he got to spend one-to-one time with a teacher in the room, you know. I mean,
safe.
It just didn't work for him. And it's the same for Jacob. So that doesn't work for him. But it doesn't necessarily mean he doesn't get some form of punishment. It just means that they have to think it through before they actually dish out the punishment. The problem you've got with that is if it's over the weekend, as an example, something kicks off Friday lunchtime, right, we'll deal with this on Monday. Well, by Monday, it's long since gone because,
yeah,
and I'm sure that's the majority's experience. Most of our kids move on very fast.
Yeah.
Because
not unreasonably.
They've been in that kind of fight, flight, freeze mode. And, you know, when their senses are heightened and all that sort of stuff, they kind of go into angry mode. But once they've come down, they've come kind of more or less forgot about. Well, not. Yeah. I know they haven't forgot about it, but they've moved on from it.
But for any child, it's a weekend's a long time. I mean, for me, a weekend's
exactly.
a long time.
Yeah. Well, overnight's a long time for me, but so it's kind of I don't know. I was a bit flippant when I said no, and let's move on. But it's a very kind of. I think it's quite a complex one to answer because there has to be a way around it. But I don't think you can use traditional measures to achieve what you want to do. However, there are still parts of it that need to be kept the same. So, you know, it needs to be a punishment that's done.
You keep
not
saying
long
punishment.
After
I want to pull you up on punishment.
All right, okay, go on then.
Well, no, I just...
Pull me up.
But that's the language. Is that the language of school?
What would you call it?
What would you say consequence?
Though? Because that's what happened to me at school. It's nothing to do with where I am now. It's about my kind of relationship with school. But things like that were punishments when I was at school. So
yeah.
it's my own language. It's nothing to do with where we are here now.
Oh, so it's not the school's language. It's just how you're expressing.
No. This is my language.
All right,
this
okay.
is me, Scott, you know.
What
who was a naughty boy at school.
I can't believe that.
Oh, I tell you, I've got stories that make your hair curl, Mr. Coates.
All right. Excellent. I shall look forward to that. A little podcast extra there. You could perhaps share a story with us.
Yeah,
No, but exactly. I think that it's really interesting, that language, though. Well, one thing I'm finding with one of my daughters, the flamboyant one, is that actually she feels much safer once they put her in inclusion. Her behaviour becomes much more tenable. And it's not about the closeness of supervision. It's about her perception of safety.
Yeah.
And that is relational because she invariably is with teachers that she teaches who probably, you know, who are not necessarily as draconian. And I think if you're drawing a line and at one end of the line is this idea of relational behavioural policies and the other end is kind of consequence policies. And I guess that H is asking the question, do they meet? Is there a point where... It can be relational and it can be consequence based. But I think that, well, I don't know. I mean, how many children are in the school that Jacob goes to?
God, I don't even know. About 800, I think.
That's big school. It's not that big, is it?
Yes, yeah, it's big. And I, well, it's not, is it? It's kind of average, I would say. Well, so, probably less than average.
So the potential for relationships is much harder, isn't it?
With but teachers? As well, I would say you said something about my language there, and I think that some of it is to do with the language of the schools as well, because you're saying that your flamboyant heiress is
you've made my blood run cold when you say it like that.
But she goes to the inclusion,
yeah,
whatever you call it,
yeah,
the inclusion room. This school that Jacob goes to doesn't have, that's not the name of that place, if that makes sense.
What's
so
it called?
To us, when he's in exclusion, he won't be going to exclusion, because that's not how we parent, and that's certainly not how the school should be punishing. And I've got my fingers in the air for a lot of words tonight, but if they changed it to inclusion and they said, you know, they spend time in a safe place and do-do-do-do-do, and it's for this reason that we put them in there and do-do, you know, if it was because he'd kicked off or whatever, he wouldn't go anyway if he kicked off, because he's more interested in trying to get to the front of the school to do a runner. You know, that's his way of dealing with it, which we've never experienced at this school, touch wood. But if they used a different kind of setup within it, rather than, you know, the booth thing that we've seen so much of over the last couple of weeks, and that man on Twitter who keeps on saying that they're a fantastic idea, you know, that to me is what, in my head, that's what that room looks like. And I don't want Jacob sitting in that room, because he's not, you know, he's, yeah, but number one, it's not his fault he's done it, because it's not most of the time. Actually, he's a perfect pupil if it wasn't for some of the stuff that happens to him during the day. Well, that we know how to cope with at home. He doesn't get away with it at home, but we deal with it very differently.
Yeah.
The end.
Yeah, well, I had a conversation. I refuse to go to parents' evenings anymore, which was just for a lot of reasons, mainly because it was kind of this environment. Mm. I think I've talked about that. So I got into these conversations with each individual teacher, and I just told them, explained, you will get much more out of Flossie if you do this. For Flossie, exclusion is a safe place. A booth is a safe place. Because there's a teacher there. There's a teacher 6 foot from you. And it's quiet and it's calm. And all of the things that cause that sense of uncertainty and tension are removed. And you've got an adult on tap. So that's why I'm cautious about the ban the booth thing. Because I think they're abused.
And
they can be abusive. But potentially, they, if used appropriately, are they an effective tool? Is that controversial? I don't know.
I think everything that we've talked about since you brought this up is potentially controversial in one way or another, whether it's my use of the word punishment or you're saying that you shouldn't be banned because you agree with them.
I've got a friend who's on the Ban the Booth committee, so she'll probably knock my teeth out when I see her next.
Yeah, I hope she will as well, because I'd have to say, if you weren't my friend, I'd probably have done it by now for you saying that, but never mind. But we've all got our own, you know, every one of our children is different in the way that we have to do things. That's why I don't get hurt up about it anymore, because actually I know what's right for Jacob in the school. If they want to give him an attention, we refuse the detention because we know it doesn't work for him. It's not going to teach him anything. He doesn't learn from it. It's got, there's no, you know, none of that kind of relational stuff.
It's a waste of everyone's time.
It's a waste of everyone's time. Plus, it means that, you know, if I'm working from home, then, you know, it makes me half an hour late for getting back to work, and, you know, that's sort of,
so it put, what,
that is a joke, by the way.
No, but that puts stress on families, doesn't it? You know, it's all well and good.
Well, it does.
Schools dishing out whatever, consequences, punishments, whatever. But actually, if that then trickles back into a family and creates, you know,
yeah,
you know, I talk to a lot of parents who say, you know, my child is an angel at school, comes out and literally bites the edges off our tables.
Yeah.
So actually,
like a coke bottle, isn't it? The top is off, time they come home, and they've squirted, you know,
they're
fizzed up all over the place.
Unraveled well and true.
And the other thing as well, I would say, is that, you know, over the years I've learned that what goes on in school stays in school.
Wise.
Because I think that any teacher's listeners should understand that, actually, because we've got enough going on at school, at home, without having to bring all the kind of traumas of the day that have been reported back to us in a really ranty 6-paragraph email, or, you know, on one of the scoring systems that the schools might use.
What you need to do is start sending them emails back about what's happening at home.
Yeah, well, we actually have, so we challenge it. Not in a nasty way. I mean, we now know how to communicate with the school, you know, but it's taken
that's
us
key,
three kids
isn't it?
To get to that point. Yeah.
But you and Triss are really assertive. I'm not assertive. I don't, that sounds horrible. you're not really assertive. You're pretty wise, and you know how to actually work in partnership with the school and not, but not be subjected. What's the right word? Not kind of overwhelmed or consumed by their kind of sense of, no, this is what we do and this is how we're going to do it, sort of thing. You push back against that quite effectively.
Yeah, but we have had to learn that, you know, in the same way, you know, I always say that you should always adopt once and then adopt twice to get it right the second time.
And what does that say about me? Thank you, Scott. So
that's a complete lie. Do not listen to me.
Well, I'm on my sixth and we're doing okay. We're touch and go with our sixth.
So, yeah, exactly. Yeah.
To keep going. It says a lot about me.
But what was that? I was saying something until you interrupted as well. Yeah, but that coming home thing as well. You know, we used to get the behaviour books, we used to get all the, you know, emails, we used to get the phone calls, blah blah. Now, you know, the phone calls I kind of ignore.
Should we really be telling people this?
Unless his arm's falling off, I'm not really that interested.
Only ring in the case of medical emergency.
Exactly. But no, in seriousness, you know, there's things that I just, you know, yes, tell me, but I'm not going to, you know, I'm not going to be addressing them at home because we've got bigger fish to fry at home. And you're not the one, you know, that's covered in bruises or, you know, being sworn at or, you know, whatever the today's kind of thing is for him. Or them, and yeah, I don't want to add to that because actually, you know, I want to have my tea in peace and then go to bed early.
So what you're saying basically is that there is, if we've got relational at one end and we've got behavioural consequential at the other end, that they kind of don't really meet. I think that they maybe do meet in junior school, middle school, primary school, but I think that it becomes more complex as you get into high school. I mean,
I think it does.
I mean, Lottie's school has got 2,100 children in.
Wow.
It is like...
That's a lot.
It is a learning factory. And you can...
I think I'd want to go into that inclusion room as well.
I mean, Lottie's fine. I think she's probably some sort of kingpin in there or queenpin in there.
She strikes me that she would be, yes. Yes,
yes, yes. She's, anyway. Well, not go into the nuances of Lottie. Oh, but I have to tell you, I went to London last week too, and we got hair braided by a friend of mine who was teaching how to braid a hair, because obviously Northumberland, it's a hot spot of black hair products and black hair, you know, hairdressers. Yeah. Not. So we go down to London, and my friend was teaching how to braid a hair. And then we finished about 5 o'clock at night, and Lottie said, we have to now go to a hair shop. And I went, well, me?
What were you in?
I'm taking you to a hair shop. She went, yes, you're taking me. So literally at 8 o'clock at night in London, I'm in an African Afro hair shop with Lottie, and there's not a single soul in it, just her and me. Have you ever seen anyone more out of place? Honestly, I just...
Well, number one, you in a hair shop, that's the first thing. And then you in an actual Caribbean, whatever you got, a hair shop. Yeah, no, that's just not.
And she was too embarrassed to ask for things. So I was having to go up to the counter. I was going, we need one of them things that'll go like round when you braid it. And they were just looking at me with, I think it was pity. I'm not sure. I put a picture on my Instagram. I'll see if I can attach it to the podcast. A picture of me looking somewhat out of place I took a selfie. Anyway, right, we said we'd do a...
You're done with that
I one. Am. I've got my next one on my list is I had a bizarre... I want to say hello to some people who I met on a train.
God, here we go. Honestly, it's turning our court show now.
Well, if you've got...
Adoption and Fostering Podcast, goodbye.
It was linked. So I got onto a train and there was some young women who were going to Newcastle to have a nice time. And if you ever been...
Did they have their coats with them?
They didn't have their coats with them. It was a Friday night and they were on the way to Newcastle. And if you've ever been on the Friday night train out of King's Cross in Newcastle, you'll know what that means. And
I have, sadly.
And by happenstance, they managed to be sat around me. And so they were a little bit leery. Yeah. And so I just put my earphones on and I thought I'd edit a podcast. Just try and keep myself out of harm's way. And then a rather nice young woman next to me, she said, what are you doing? And I went, I'm just I'm just editing some audio. And she went, what is it? Is it music? And I went, no, it's a podcast. And she went, what's it, podcast? I listen to what's it about? I went, oh, it's about adoption. She went, never. And she pointed across the aisle and she went, she's adopted. In front of the whole train.
Oh, God.
And I went, oh, no, this is so wrong. But anyway, it turned out to be so right. And I've probably got a new listener, Katie. Kate. So she's they were going up to watching some MMA fighting in Newcastle. It was really odd.
Oh, okay.
As you do. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that was my interesting train journey.
Well, hi, Kate, if you're listening.
Yeah. Maybe she is. She's working.
And welcome to the adoption and podcast family.
Yes. I said if she ever caught up, because she's working her way through the back catalogue, she could. She would be more than welcome to come on and tell her story, because she had a very, very interesting story. Bless her.
So,
excellent. Right. I've got another thing on my list, and I was wanting to talk to you about this. And I was thinking about vicarious trauma. Right? You're shaking your head.
You use all these big words. Can you not just put... Where's my pop-up book?
Right, your flip book. Right, I've got... I'm going to read from Wikipedia now.
And I'm sure that other people will know exactly what I'm saying, because some of these things that are coming out and they're using all these big words.
Right, listen. Right, pay attention. Vicarious okay. traumatization is a transformation in the self of a trauma worker or helper that results from empathic engagement with traumatized clients and their reports of traumatic experiences. It is a special form of countertransference stimulated by exposure to a client's traumatic material. Or, in parent, it's the idea that it's a form of countertransference stimulated by exposure to a child's traumatic material. So there you
go. That makes sense. See?
See, there you go. What, there you why go. Didn't I just say that?
There you go. Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Speak English, I'm sure. Boy.
Half a dozen people are listening going, yeah, Scott, yeah, you tell them. And the other lot are just shaking their heads going, for goodness sake, don't you know what these words mean?
Well, I was just wondering, do you think yours is catching up with you? What? Your vicarious trauma.
That's an interesting one, isn't it? Because wasn't there a time where we all used to use that word secondary trauma?
It's the same.
Do you remember that time?
I think it's the same thing.
Well, it's not, is it?
Is it not?
Because if you look at the definition of secondary trauma, and I correct people now if I hear them use that word, because secondary trauma is actually you've experienced the same trauma as the person who... Does that make sense? No, probably not.
Yes.
But that is secondary trauma. You've experienced the same as the other person. Maybe not quite as, you know, badly, or maybe even more bad, you know, whatever that word is. But secondary trauma, you have to have experienced the actual trauma to suffer from the secondary part of it. And I can't remember where. I'm sure it must have been.
No. It's kind of almost the same as vicarious. It's secondary traumatic stress is the emotional duress that results when an individual hears about the first-hand trauma experiences of another. Mm. Well, one is about hearing someone's trauma, and the other one is kind of this idea of countertransference, where you experience it. But I was actually thinking that the reason I had a, you know, the study that Beth Neal and her researchers are doing.
Yes.
I said I would sign up for that, so they came over. A crack team of researchers came over and did the whole lot of us in a day, and. I was kind of
just a day.
And I was really busy afternoon, and I was kind of thinking, oh, it'll be like a 30-minute chat about being a grandparent, and it wasn't.
Yeah.
It really freaked me out. So, but I've spoke to them, and they're fine with it, and I'm fine with it now. I had to be at one point put on a drip because I was so dehydrated from crying so hard.
Wow.
What happened was they said, look, think about your whole adoption experience and start to think about how separate it up and think about what are the strongest feelings. And I started to just sort of share some of my story, and I started to get really, you know, when you go back into it, you're there, and I thought, you know, I've never talked about this, I've never actually shared this stuff. And I just thought, actually, some of the stuff that adoptive parents, and I'm really cautious because I think often I think on Twitter there's been a lot of stuff where lately adopters have been really unkind to adoptees, and there's always that tension, isn't there, where we kind of adopters downplay, it's not so much English adopters, I think, downplay the experiences of adoptees, and then some adoptees who are perhaps a bit cross kind of then downplay the experiences of adopters. And I think actually we've both got bring our own nibbles to the buffet, pretty traumatised. But I was just kind of really conscious. I thought, you know, what do we do with this stuff, actually? Because the Adoption Support Fund is there for our children, that's right and good and proper. But actually, increasingly, I'm seeing lots of wounded adopters. Mm. But you'll see a lot of that, won't you? Because that's your bread and butter. You're in Adoption UK.
Am I?
Apparently.
I keep forgetting where I work.
You wish.
Yeah, I do see a lot of it. But what's interesting is that less and less outwardly. So, you know, yes, we hear, but we maybe don't see. So what you've just kind of explained, that your situation was this kind of, if it's true that you did cry.
I did.
Repeatedly. You know, what an admission, because actually, you know, it generally, I think my impression of this, and this goes back over 10 years, not just with Adoption UK, but with some of the volunteering that I've done as well. Privately, people can share a lot and potentially get quite upset by it. But in a larger group, it's very difficult for them to do that.
Like a support group.
And I think that people do channel some of that into kind of anonymized profiles on Twitter and Facebook and private groups and, you know, all that sort of stuff. I mean, I'm guilty of it as well. You know, some of the stuff that I say on some of the kind of private groups, maybe on Facebook, I would, you know, I might not even say to Tris. He doesn't listen, so he doesn't know. But I don't think that's uncommon, actually. I think that we've had to build such a guard up about how we feel about this sort of stuff that some, you know, like your position, they asked you quite a direct question, probably.
Yeah.
And you answered it because you wanted to answer the direct question. And then actually, in fact, I took you to a place that probably, had you had time to think about it, you'd have thought, well, actually, I'm going to answer it like this because that'll upset me if I talk like that, or, you know, da-da. And I think that's a logical thing that we do because we have this barrier. I don't care what anybody says. We all have this barrier.
But I mean, more and more, Paul is saying to me, you need therapy, which is, I mean, this is a really bad place to kind of share my innermost feelings, isn't it? But more and more she's saying, actually, this stuff is catching up with us all. It's not that I'm going to have a breakdown and, you know, more and more I just think, actually, this stuff is really quite serious.
Yeah.
When you look at some of the extremes of parenting that we see some of the community living through, people genuinely traumatized, not only by their children's stories, but by their children.
Yeah.
That's delicate, isn't it? Because actually do you know people who've been harmed emotionally, psychologically by their children?
Yeah, I mean, I do. But I also know that, you know, it's, oh, blimey, you're really drawing me onto the WhatsApp tonight, aren't you? Because I've seen it both ways. That's the thing. I've seen parents who've actually done the same back because that's how they deal with it, if that makes sense.
How do you mean?
Well, so, you know, it's kind of pain has been, and I'm not talking about physical pain, but I'm saying pain has been inflicted on them as parents because they're trying to do their best, but actually they can't deal with the way they're being treated. So they inflict it back, you know, whether it's verbally or whether it's some of the stuff they're saying.
Toxic kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Toxic relationships. Yeah. I mean, you know, they are probably the worst situations. And then, you know, that's what we kind of, I think that's probably why I try and do what I do in terms of helping, being an ear, listening, letting people rant, because that does help, doesn't it? You know, let's face it, having a rant anonymously or privately or whatever helps. It does help. This is a really big can of worms to open, I think, because I think everybody will have a different impression of it. Personally.
Well, I mean, I feel nervous because I think that the conversations. And why do I feel nervous? Because I think that there's a real nuance to this. That, like you said, that you got to be careful where you share this stuff, and that's why it's something for a therapeutic environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd agree.
But it's got to be somewhere where you feel safe to kind of actually, Because
yeah,
actually, I was.
But the yeah. but the other thing as well, and this is a very serious. I mean, it's a serious topic you've brought up. I'm not dissing it, like I did with education. But you know, how does it affect us in the rest of our life as well? And I'm talking about work. I'm talking about, you know, some of the things we do. You know, I had to feel. I mean, today I texted you today actually, and this is a prime example, an absolute prime example of how my life has. Kind of ended up, if you like. Yes, I know I go away on holiday and all that sort of stuff, but I have to because there is nothing else in my life. There is nothing else interesting in my life.
It's a wasteland.
There is. I had to fill in this thing for next week because we were having a staff retreat thing where we're all coming together for the first time in 5 years, so it's going to be really nice. And I had to fill in this, get this thing about who am I, you know, one of those kind of just one side. And
this
you know,
is me.
And then what your job title is, you put a photograph of something and then you put, you know, some interesting thing, 3 points about you did it. And the last thing was about, tell us something about yourself that's really interesting. And I honestly, Tris and I racked our brains for half an hour and I was like, what do I do outside of work? Podcast. Okay, podcast a contender. You know, but that's how I think that if I think about it really seriously, that's how my life has ended up because I've been consumed by this process of parenting to the point where everything's just gone by the by. I have very little social life. I don't have any hobbies. I put excuses in the way for things like, you know, the walk that's coming up in September. Yeah. I need to start training for that. When am I going to do that? In between the washing the iron and the cleaning, the, you know, walking the dog, the
school.
I mean, walking the dog is the wrong thing, but the school, you know, the cat, the mouse, the, you know, the cow that jumped over the moon, you know, I'm putting everything in the way because actually I'm just so knackered and I'm so drained by
just
it.
That
and
capacity.
I need that recuperation time.
That is really interesting. And I do think... because I'm reading Helen Oakwater's book at the moment in preparation for a conversation we're going to have with her. And it's really made me think about some stuff about the impacts of adoptive parenting. I mean, none of us would do it any differently.
No.
We'd all do it again for our children, not necessarily for your... I wouldn't do it for your children. You wouldn't do it for my children.
Certainly not. Don't ever ask me to do that.
Too far.
I mean, even my kids' godparents have said, no, you can take us off that list. Thanks very much.
we've had a chat. And
we've had a chat. Yeah, we met them. We didn't like them.
Too far. I just think that it's a really interesting question. And I just thought there's a generation of adopters who I meet older people. And they're quite... We met a couple and they're of sort of a similar age to us and our older children. And they've kind of, we're all in that very similar vein. But actually people who are really, really hurt and they're moving into their middle, their sort of their middle years, their the latter stages of their lives or their career life, you know, before they retire. And actually they've got good lives, you know, they've got all of that, but it's not the lives they'd planned.
No, exactly. And you know what I'd love to say? There's a generational thing. And what I mean by generational is generation of adopters.
Yeah.
Because, you know, when you started out and I started out, there was no such thing as ASF.
No.
There now is.
They don't know they're born.
I don't think even that will have anywhere near the impact it needs to have in terms of how people parent, because it's, you know, it's, don't get me wrong, it's a large amount of money. We heard this week, you know, $100 million
spent so far,
which is fantastic considering that was never before there before. But my point is that, you know, you would hope that new families who are being made tomorrow and next week, and you know, since ASF was since inception of the ASF, that it would be improving their lives so that actually they don't have to go through all this. But we know it isn't, because it's not been, you know, it's not meant to be early prevention, but you know, it's not being used in that way to actually learn. Actually, do you know what, if I place a child with that family, that type of family, and I don't give them this support, then this will happen kind of thing, isn't it? Yes, it's kind of working that way, but it's not working the way it should that way, if that makes sense. So there's not that kind of, right, once you're 6 months in, we're going to give you some play therapy or some this therapy or that therapy. I know it's difficult, I'm generalizing, but
you feel like they're pulling solutions off shelves.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But that's not happening. So, you know, we're not making the impact that we need to make with that kind of money, because it could do it both ways, couldn't it? It could help with the issues that families who've been families for a while are facing, and then it can help the new families that are coming through so that they don't have to experience some of that.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, I agree with that. And you do wonder.
You do not.
No.
You agree with me?
I don't really know what you're saying.
Wait a minute, I'm going to put that on the calendar. 2 seconds. Al Coates agree. Yeah. Scott's cousin red.
I think I agree. I'll re-listen to the tape and I'll maybe insert something.
Yeah, you're going to come on to the end after the music. Yeah,
at this point,
just so you know.
At 11 minutes 47, Al said he agreed and he's spoken to his lawyers and he would like to state that he no longer agrees with that statement. I do wonder, because I am pro-adoption, but increasingly I'm finding that position hard to defend. Oh, that sounds terrible, because I am pro-adoption.
No, but I think you're pro-adoption, and the reason you're pro-adoption is because you're pro your adopted, your family that's made up of this, because of adoption, and you love your kids, and your kids mostly love you, as kids will and won't do.
Have I shown you the footprint mark on my face?
Yeah, exactly. but you know what I'm trying to say? Because you've got that kind of, you know, in the same way that I am pro-adoption, and I would do it again.
Yeah, but it raises lots of questions, and I was listening to the Last Adopter stories. I'm not sure you've had a chance to listen to it yet. It's where, you know, a young woman's talking about her experience of her mother and her mother's partner adopting, and her kind of supporting that as a 20-year-old woman, and that support that's kind of then gone on through her, and then her decision to become an adopted social worker. But seeing that, actually, I don't think we could have done this, because we've got our first three children were straightforward, but our younger ones, we've needed so many more adults in our lives than we've ever thought imaginable. We've got, you know, we've got Queenie who lives with us, and we've got, and my children were adults, and I just think it's just been really tricky. That said, a lot of it has been well within the normal of parenting.
Exactly, that's the thing. And it's very difficult to separate out sometimes when you're knackered and you've had a kick in the face and, you know, whatever else.
Thank heaven she was wearing her soft shoes.
Yeah. Oh, she didn't have the football studs on. But the other thing as well, and I think this is, you have to think, this is probably, I'm just going to say it anyway. If you think about some of the makeups of the adoptive families and some of the careers that we've got as well, so you've got a lot of teachers, you've got a lot of social workers, you've got a lot of kind of people who are working with in children's services and all that sort of stuff. So they're not just dealing with it at home.
Yeah.
They're dealing with it at work as well. Now, I deal with parents, with adoptive parents. You deal with foster children or fostering.
You don't know what I do, do you?
You deal with foster carers. I know you do. But in your work. Yeah. You deal with foster care, you know, you think about, I know 100 teachers who are adoptive parents and have come to be adopters because they wanted to make a difference in a child's life, and that's how they got to that point. So if you're doing that in your personal life and then you're doing it in your day job as well, you're never away from it, so you're absolutely belted frazzled, by the end of the day, and you're still dealing with it. So, you know, it's there. You're not just living it in your home, you're living it in your work. And probably the only place you get away from it is in the car, which is why I drive around for 3 hours before I actually come into the house after I come home for a month.
I know.
Oh, sorry, I got stuck in traffic.
Yeah, I would never stop at the end of our lane and just have a little 5 minutes. I would never do that. That would be so wrong. No, never.
Never.
Well,
probably because I'm on the phone to them screaming at me, going, you know, so you just think, well, it's just for an easy life, better go home. Yeah.
Well, that has been an interesting chat, and normally we do. We have got.
I think it's a really interesting topic, and I think it's one that we should come back to at some point when we've got maybe someone who can answer some questions.
Someone who's clever and that. Yeah, exactly. That'd be good. Get a guest on. There are a few people coming up. We've got Helen Oakwater on next week, which I'm looking forward to, and I have a feeling that I might disagree with her, but that'd be exciting. Maybe not. I don't know.
That would be interesting to see, actually, because, I mean, as you know, I've met Helen quite a bit and done some work with her. So, yeah, I'll be interested to see whether you do or not.
No, yeah.
I'll also be interested to see if we get a word in edgeways, actually.
That's mean. Anyway,
No, but I love Helen, and
and she knows
yeah,
where you
she
live.
probably won't love
She
me.
put your
Exactly, she
windows
probably
in.
won't love me after doing that. Yeah.
We've got Betsy DeTherese who's coming on in a few weeks. We've got Joanne Alper.
What's that name? What's that name? That sounds so
The
cozy,
bet
doesn't it? Betsy
the
DeTherese.
Therese.
Sounds like a nice, comfy, big cushion that's kind of goosedowny and lovely and soft, and you just cuddle into it. That's what that name says to me.
We shall.
So I hope she's going to be like that.
I'm just not going to be drawn onto the rocks with that.
No
What you're
pressure.
saying there, I'm
No
really not
pressure.
going to be drawn. And Joanne Alper said she would come on, which would be really exciting. Talk about
She does,
DDP.
yeah. If I can hook her down
Oh,
to a
yeah.
date, then
Do you think she's frightened by
yeah.
our Paxman-esque chops?
I don't know. I just think that she just, I mean, she doesn't listen, because if she did, then she would know that she'd been mentioned a few times.
Good point. So put some.
But she's been to the gym and she let me feel her guns yesterday, and cool, she's got bigger guns than me. So,
Really don't know how to take that conversation forwards
well,
and keep
it's
my
just,
job.
it's about, self-care, isn't it? She's doing a lot of
Look, as a
self-care at the
rule of
minute,
thumb, you
so.
shouldn't go around meetings feeling women's arms.
Well, to be fair, if you're a straight man, no, you shouldn't. But
Right.
when a straight woman offers a gay man the opportunity to feel her guns, you feel her guns, because it would be disrespectful if you didn't, okay?
Wow, I've.
That's the difference between heterosexual and gay,
Are you gay?
okay? I
All
am.
right. Mental note to self.
You've lost jobs over me being gay, you know it, girlfriend.
Girlfriend.
Clicking the fingers, yes. I'm hoping to lose you another one. That's why I've asked you to be best man at a gay wedding.
I'll be on the streets. And we've also got I've got found an EMDR therapist who said she would come on and talk to us. She was slightly reluctant,
Yes.
but she's from Yorkshire. Not,
What's that
I
got
don't
to do
know. I
with
just said it. It just came out,
it?
and maybe I should stop now. So we've got
Yeah,
quite a few.
I'm interested as well, actually, because I don't understand it. And according to your wife, that's what I could do with. So.
Oh, she's been talking to you as well, has she?
Yeah, she has. Yeah, she's trying to get us both in therapy.
Well, we get a.
She's very pro-therapy, as your
Oh,
wife,
honestly,
isn't she?
we should get one installed
Yeah.
in the house. Anywho, we've had a 45 minutes. Let's shall we nick off and.
You should get Fat John back.
I should what?
Get Fat John back. You said you should have one installed in the house. Get Fat John back.
Don't. It makes my skin crawl at the very thought of that conversation. Right, I'm going to go off. I'm going to go find something to do. If anyone wants to email us, if you want to email us any questions or you've got any comments, or actually, someone complained to me, two people in the same room complained to me about the podcast and said it was too quiet.
Too quiet. Well, what can we do
I
about
don't know. Well, I was maybe some.
that? I think you need to go to the tech team about that, to be honest. I mean, I can hear. This is the thing. It's really difficult to respond to these when it's actually all right on your own appliance, at your own
Your
appliance,
appliance.
because I plumb into the washing machine to listen to it.
You've got an iron, a Bluetooth iron.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Bluetooth iron. It comes out through the scooshers on the front line.
Wow.
It is really difficult to respond to stuff like that, because when my iPad and my Mac and my Dell and my whatever else that I use to listen to it, because I have a trip around the mall once in a
Get
while,
you.
it, it's fine for me.
And
So it's really hard to respond to stuff
especially when
like
they
that,
don't
isn't
tell
it?
us.
Exactly.
So
But then you wonder, have they actually turned the volume up? Do they know where the volume button is? Because I've seen my cousin's a little bit older than me. She's not that much older, and showed her how to swipe left to take a photograph rather than unlock her screen. It's stuff like that. You
you're
think,
not showing a
I'm
grinder,
not
are
on.
you? When you swipe left, you weren't putting your auntie
No,
on
that's Tinder, love. It's
Tinder.
Tinder.
Oh, I don't know. I didn't want to
Yes.
presume anything. It's a terribly modern world we live in. You've got to be careful what you say.
So I don't know how you resolve
Well, email us basically.
that,
Email us any questions or points. Email us at the podcast or direct messages through the website or leave a comment or I don't know. Just
or just send a carrier pigeon,
yeah,
or
wrap a note round a brick and put it through Scott's window.
Probably not, no. Depending on through Owl's window, he's used to having things thrown
out. I'll set my child on you. Release the child! Anyway, it's about that time of the night.
Well, just before we go, we just need to quickly mention that I am doing a walk.
Oh, yes.
And we will come back to it because I would like to get Ben on. And I think we mentioned that in last podcast, actually. Because I feel that this has been a bit dry, this podcast, actually. There's not been a lot of humour in there.
Laugh, we nearly did.
But we've set the route.
I saw that.
And we set that this morning. We're doing it over 2 weeks.
Can I say, Scott, I've looked at the route and you're clearly insane.
Yeah.
And I've noticed how your days get longer and longer.
Yeah, and towards the end.
Towards the
it's
end.
Fabulous, isn't it?
But that also coincides with the hills getting higher and higher.
Anyway, so I'm now taking applications to be my double. So if you're 6 foot,
look
good looking.
Got great legs for a kilt.
Yes, exactly. But anyway, in all seriousness, no, it's the route is set, and we will be going up the east coast from Halifax to Edinburgh.
Well, you're not. You're going up the middle, Scott.
No, we're going up the east coast. There's an east and there's a west. There's no middle, all right?
Okay, right. Okay, if your geography's cool with that.
When did Newcastle go in the middle of England?
You're coming to Newcastle.
I think you'll find we are, actually.
Okay, I'm just going off I'm not going to fall out with you.
Or have I missed? Have
you
I
need
missed
to red? Really look at your route. You're coming to Hexham.
I have to.
Hexham's 70 miles from the sea. 60 miles from the sea or something.
Oh, it's Newcastle upon Tyne, isn't it?
You dizzy bint.
It's not Newcastle. Is it?
Right. I'm really bored of you now.
Anyway, it's close to the east, all right? It's farther east than it is west, all right? That's why we're saying east.
Yeah, I'll give you that.
And just so you know as well, it's not just about adoption, it's about mental health, and it's also about children leaving care as well. That's the three kind of...
The trinity of...
Of what we should be doing in
our
everyday
like
lives.
A very good cause and a very good purpose. I think I shall endeavour to join you on at least one of the days.
Exactly. Well, what I would say is anybody who's on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, the route is on there. If you feel that you can join us even for half a mile of it when we do it, we need all the moral support we can get. And anybody who's willing to sponsor T-shirts or badges or anything like that, feel free to get in touch with moi.
Yeah.
Via Twitter.
Yeah, bring your rotten fruit, throw it at him as he passes.
Exactly, bring anything.
Excellent. Get your kids to bite your ankles.
Anyway, I just wanted to mention it now because it is February? Yeah. Is it still
it
February?
February?
Yeah, it's still February. And it will come upon us fairly soon.
You better get training.
Yeah. There you go. Just my little plug.
Well, in that case, Scott, once again, it's been an absolute pleasure for you. And I hope that you have a fantastic week and I will speak to you soon.
Fabulous. Goodbye, Mr. Coots. Bye-bye. Seriously. I want to shut the door in another house where nobody lives, just me. Well, you must be able to hear that. Can you hear it?
I can just about hear it, yeah.
Shall we just go and
Just go for it.
Well, hello and welcome to episode. That was a really good first one as well. You know that.
It was your best.
For the bands, yeah. It was your best jazz hand yet.
Yeah. All your syllables, all your consonants. Yeah.
Inconstants.
Yeah,
that one. Inconstants.
Yeah. You're still getting them through expenses. Your pants. 10 a man.
Do you still receive them in the post?
Occasionally, I do sign people up that I don't like to things like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, I've done that in the past. Literally.
We should do it to Hugh Thornbury.
We'd do it for his wedding, actually.
That would be so much fun, wouldn't it?
We could have it sent to the venue.
I don't think... I'll have his... do I have his address? I do have his address. I could do that.
We could say... Oh, yeah. Can you put a message on them to say? No, I don't think you can you?
That would be so wrong.
You just said, congratulations on your wedding from the Adoption and Fostering podcast. Right, anyway, they've gone now, so I can crack on. You ready?
Like a coiled podcasting spring.
Fabulous.